Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
Welcome back, 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Very excited about having a new friend on the show. David Stebbin is here. David is a professor of history and law at Ohio State University. He's a specialist in modern American political and legal history. And folks, you know how much I love stuff like that. And we talk about this. I've been talking about all this on the show over the years. You can't know where you're going if you don't know where you've been. That's what I say. David, what do you think? Welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me on, Jim. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. So the book is called Promised Land, How the Rise of the Middle Class Transformed America, 1929 to 1968. I was there for part of that. David, thanks again for being here, and thanks and congratulations on your book. There's the ancient wisdom, you can't know where you're going if you don't know where you've been. What do you think?
Well, I agree. And what's interesting about the period I write about is it starts with a sudden, unexpected change. Mm-hmm. And I think most of your listeners in the business world can feel some empathy for folks in the late 1920s and early 1930s, because all of a sudden the economy changed in all kinds of challenging ways. And then the larger society changed. And for entrepreneurs and small business people, the 1930s were a tough, tough proposition. But there were folks who figured out, as the middle class rose, how to reconfigure their business for them. And a lot of those folks did really well.
Mm-hmm.
And I could give you a few examples if you're interested.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Now, of course, he's talking about the end of the Roaring Twenties, the stock market crash of 29, and then the subsequent Great Depression, which came out of all that, leading up to World War II. Now, go ahead.
Right, and so and many people ask me, you know, why on earth would you start a book about the rise of the middle class with 1929 and the stock market crash and the Great Depression? And it's because it changed it. In other words, the whole mood of the 20s was different. Income and wealth inequality, even during the most prosperous years of the 20s, were high. Mm-hmm. Statistically, they were very much like today.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Great Depression came along and changed things. And just to give one of the most famous examples, there's William Levitt and his brother Alfred. So what are they doing in the 1930s, when the Great Depression begins to arrive? They're designing high-end housing for wealthy people who live mm-hmm. on Long Island outside of New York City.
Levittown.
Well, Levittown does not yet exist. Building is high-end housing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he serves, William Levitt, in the CBs, the Engineering Corps, in the military during World War II. And then comes home, and he's a shrewd businessman, and he sees that the changes that have happened in America during the 30s and early to mid-40s have contributed to the rise of the middle class, that they're desirable customers now. And so he uses those techniques that he's learned during World War II, prefabricated housing and so on,
uh-huh.
and creates the largest single subdivision in American history, Levittown, mm-hmm. New York.
Yeah, and he goes down market. After World War II, he goes down market with the same principles.
Although what I think he would have said was, I went middle market. You know what I mean?
Down from the high end. So that's fascinating. But what you're talking about is the world was reset in the 30s. From 1929 to September 1945, the world was reset, wasn't it?
Right. And it was challenging for people if they were firmly entrenched in an older way of thinking. In other words, the people who did best were just flexible. And a lot of them were younger adults.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking just in general, but your show is focused on entrepreneurs, but it's true across the board. And some older people were able to adapt. But the point is, you're absolutely right. And in the 30s, the key change is all of a sudden, a huge swath of the population felt economically insecure. Not just the kind of folks who are always feeling that
right.
way, but professional people, small business people. People talk about the decline in income in the 30s for workers,
right.
people making wages. Mm-hmm. And wages fell by around 40%.
My parents used to say there was no money. They didn't talk about being hungry necessarily. They didn't talk about anything. They just said there was no money. They meant that literally.
Right.
Hold on to that thought, Professor Stebbin. We're going to take a quick break. Right back with David Stebbin. The book is called Promised Land by David Stebbin. And when we come back, we're going to talk about when did the middle class in America start declining? You might be surprised at the date and the circumstances. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.